Hello and welcome to SRUC's Rural Policy Center's podcast covering a range of topics that we are currently working on. I'm Carrie Doyle, a researcher here in the Rural Policy Center, and today we're talking about community wealth building. Whether you're a seasoned professional or a curious learner, this might be interesting for you. So before we dive into community wealth building, just a bit of background on this research. Our work on community wealth building is part of a larger project at SRUC, led by Professor Stephen Thompson. It's looking at novel insights on Scotland's rural and island economies. We use the acronym NISRI to refer to this sometimes, so you'll see that on our website, for example. So NISRI covers a range of economic topics in rural and island areas and is funded by the Scottish Government's Strategic Research Programme. Most of our work on NISRI and other projects is publicly available on our website, ruralexchange.scot. So if this is of interest, feel free to follow our team's work there or on social media. So jumping into today's topic then, community wealth building. There has been a bit of a buzz about community wealth building in Scotland in policy circles since 2020. And especially with the government, they recently consulted on legislation on community wealth building and committed actually to introducing that legislation in the next term of parliament. But there's a lot to unpack with community wealth building when we're discussing it as a concept and as a model, and lots of learning from what's been happening in Scotland. So to help us break it down, my colleague Anna Voon here today is going to chat more about the topic. Anna is a human geographer that's interested in migration, rural health, and community development. She's worked with rural, remote, and sparsely populated communities in a number of different countries, and she's a strong advocate for rural equity and well-being. Since joining SRUC, she's worked on several strategic research program projects, including the NISRI project and our work on community wealth building.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Anna, let's start from the basics. What is community wealth building?
That's a great question, Carrie. There are multiple different definitions of community wealth building, and I would say that maybe my favorite one is by the Scottish Land Commission, which defines it as a place-based approach to local economic development, which redirects wealth back to local economies and places control and benefits in hands of local people. Some other definitions, such as Goodwin's, which is academic definition, or the ones from the Center for Local Economy Strategies, defines it as being about developing wealth with local roots and ownership, or about local economies and ensuring they are best placed to tackle inequalities and disadvantages. So if you look at them all together, even just these three, you can see that there is the same underlying message, and each one of them has its place based on the context. When they're pulled together, they can actually be really insightful for a person that has never encountered this term before. So when we're thinking about community wealth building, because, you know, as a term, it sounds so out there, it's very difficult to ground it and to make it tangible. There are five pillars that should make it more feasible. And those are the plural ownership of the economy, making financial power work for local places, fair employment and just labor markets, progressive procurement of goods and services, and socially just use of land and property. Scottish government made their own five pillars that correspond to these existing ones, and those are inclusive ownership, finance, workforce, spending, and land and property. So if you look at those pillars, and if you look at the concept of community wealth building from the existing definitions, it is very clear that community wealth building per se is not a complex concept, but it is very difficult to ground it and to develop pathways to actually execute it properly, especially when we think about the existing diversity of communities and landscapes in Scotland and in the UK as well.
That's really interesting, Anna. So what can be done to make this policy happen? Community wealth building sounds like it's a model that can be especially beneficial for local communities.
Yes, ideally, if fully utilized, the model could be beneficial for the range of different stakeholders, including local communities. And realistically, local communities should be at the forefront of this. I think it's important to consider the context, capacity, geography of each place and community before implementation of any type of community wealth building initiative or a model. And the model itself needs to be flexible or adaptable or elastic enough to cater for these existing diversities and different communities. Well, when we are talking about the success stories, one of the most common ones is actually Preston model in the UK. And one of the pillars they really focused on was the kind of engaging the role of anchor institutions, which are the important institutions in the community, such as hospital, university, city councils, and making sure that they kind of participated and prompted the change that they wanted to see in Preston. So Preston's approach has been evaluated through a range of outcomes, including an increase in procurement spending, retained local lead, development of worker-owned cooperatives across a range of different sectors, increasing the proportion of workers locally who are paid at or above the living wage, and just, you know, more attention to local skills and employment needs with local education and training institutions that were actively involved in meeting these requirements.
Those are impressive outcomes, Anna. How has community wealth building been adopted in Scotland then?
So the Scottish Government's programme for 2020-21 recognised the need to rethink the local economies and communities as a result of the pandemic. And, you know, they announced the funding for 5 pilot areas, and commitment was made to develop a community wealth building bill through the Bute House Agreement. There was also a consultation on this specific thing in early 2023, and from the results, it was evident that there was a need for an approach that would require public bodies to embed community wealth building into their work and to produce collaborative and place-based community wealth building strategies and action plans that would be combined with bottom-up activities by communities that, you know, as you know, are very much present in the Scottish landscape. And that type of approach would be favorable. So various organizations have worked to inform the adoption of community wealth building approach in Scotland, including the Centre for Local Economic Strategies, the Economic Development Association Scotland, and Scottish Rural Action. They focused on the adoption in a rural and island context of these types of models. Also, the Scottish Government's programme for 2020-21 announced that in addition to continuing the work with Ayrshire, who at the time already secured $3 million for community wealth building through their regional growth deal, the government would work with 5 additional areas to produce community wealth building action plans. And the program acknowledged that these plans would be different in different places and that communities, public services, and businesses would be involved in their design and delivery, which, you know, I previously mentioned is really important because it reflects that not all the pilot sites have the ability to adopt the same pillars or work on the same pillars at this stage of time. Through these measures, the government argued that more public sector spend would be circulated locally. Small and medium-sized enterprises would be supported to create additional well-paying jobs, and there would be more support for local businesses, including alternative types of economies and different business models, maximizing shared workspace, access and clearly signposting to available finance. We're currently preparing a report on these pilot projects as we want to fully understand how this process evolved in each of the sites.
Yeah, interesting stuff, Anna. And as you know, I've been working on that pilot report. So do keep an eye out for that when it's published and for a podcast on that as well. But as you were just explaining, you know, the Preston model picked up on what worked in Preston, and that is one place and developed a really strong model. In Scotland, you've got 5 pilots and you've got Ayrshire, which was doing work before that. So you can see that what's happening in Scotland is taking community wealth building in new ways, which is quite interesting from research, policy, and of course, lived experience perspective of the communities who are seeing things change. So, Anna, can you explain a bit about how community wealth building became a central policy for the Scottish Government?
So, from my understanding, Scottish Government saw early on that they need to tackle issues like inequality, depopulation, environmental challenges. And as you know, we have all these challenges still very much present in our everyday lives, such as housing, such as demographic change, and there was a need already in 2020 to think about these things. And one of the outcomes of that discussion was actually thinking about the alternative and new approaches to economic development. So community wealth building per se provides that framework because it focuses on creating economic resilience. And in 2020, as part of the government's program, for the government, they announced funding for pilot sites that I mentioned before.
To recap where we are, the Scottish government policy and took this up in 2020 and moved forward. They developed the pilots, the legislation, which we'll talk about in a minute, but we're almost 5 years on. So it's a really opportune time to reevaluate where Scotland has got to for community wealth building and what's next. It's an exciting time in that sense. In terms of the legislation for supporting community wealth building, this podcast is being recorded in September 2024, and the program for government was recently published, which included a commitment to the Community Wealth Building Bill to be introduced in Scottish Parliament in the next year. So that is definitely coming forward. The idea, as Anna, as you were explaining there, is that this legislation will strengthen local communities' ability to keep wealth circulating within their local area through the community wealth building pillars. This kind of legislation is key because it sets the groundwork for longer-term commitments from public bodies, potentially from businesses and community organizations as well. Do you have any thoughts about the legislation and what that can add to community wealth building?
Well, it is really important that we can see the continuation in development of this specific legislation. We can see that there is a bit more thinking about rural context, about what does rural mean, what does remote mean. You know, we can see that Scottish government is taking these suggestions on board, which is very important. But what is really ideal for the community wealth building legislation would be to create an approach that would actually cater for both top-down and bottom-up approaches and have a very inclusive type of a collaboration from the grassroots initiatives, but also from the policy that would actually communicate with each other, collaborate and develop something that would be, as I said, flexible enough, elastic enough, and just adaptable to different circumstances and different contexts.
Thanks for that, Anna. Yeah, the idea that the legislation can support community wealth building at different levels, like public bodies, as well as businesses and community organizations, is so interesting. And it's something that is being done in the National Planning Framework 4. So just to explore that a little bit, if people want to pick up on that side of community wealth building. So community wealth building was being led by a minister, Tom Arthur, who also had the planning portfolio during the review of the National Planning Framework 4. And as part of that, and I think because of his interest in it, he helped to drive forward the adoption of planning policy for community wealth building in the National Planning Framework 4, which sets land use policy for all of Scotland. So what Scotland now has is the only country in the world which has a commitment to community wealth building and the plan for the entire, it's a spatial plan for the entire country, which sets a requirement for people's development consent applications, so applications for people who want to build things, etc. And now what is happening is you've got this national policy, but then you also have businesses grappling with the implementation of that national policy, as well as community groups grappling with the implementation of that national policy. And we were speaking to some colleagues this morning, and they were talking about how that is, there's a lot of learning going on about what that means in practice. So again, interesting times in Scotland for community wealth building, given that I suppose you could say that the frontiers on community wealth building are being pushed in so many different directions. So Anna, let's talk now about rural and island communities. And of course, our research, as we explained at the start, is focused on the experiences of rural and island economies. Community wealth building is both something that's national, it's something that's happening in urban areas, as well as, of course, rural and island areas. So in your experience, how is community wealth building looking in rural and island communities compared to elsewhere?
Well, the first thing we need to think about is that rural and island communities in Scotland and elsewhere have very different needs and economic structures in comparison to in urban areas. We've seen that in different settings, whether it's on a Scottish level, UK level, European level, or, you know, global level. The community wealth building approach in these regions focuses on using local resources in a more efficient and empowering way. And it includes a lot of local stakeholders and local communities, smaller businesses and community enterprises. So, you know, if we're thinking about the traditional wealth building methods, which are usually not that mentioned or pushed forward, like volunteering or social enterprises or, you know, local initiatives, they play a significant role in this entire process. And community wealth building in these areas is about making sure that these types of initiatives, these types of small scale businesses and community projects are recognized and allowed to thrive, rather than just focusing on large projects or initiatives or positioning anchor institutions as the core of the community wealth building, which, you know, in many of the communities in Scotland is just not feasible because many of the communities do not have a hospital, they do not have a university, they do not have, you know, like a big council. And therefore, we have to understand that anchor institutions in these types of places will probably look very differently, but it doesn't take away from their importance. Quite the opposite, they can be more meaningful and more empowering and more influential in implementing these types of models and methods than maybe in urban settings.
That's fascinating, Anna. It sounds like that there's potentially a lot of flexibility built into the community wealth building approach to ensure that it works for both densely populated cities and more remote communities.
Exactly. One of the ideas was to adapt models like the Preston model to better connect with small community-led strategies. In rural areas, local networks are often the backbone of the economy, and they drive both resilience and innovation. And that really needs to be taken into consideration. Because as I mentioned previously, when we are thinking about not just the role of anchor institutions, but what are these anchor institutions in smaller communities, in more rural communities, island communities, what is their role? Who is participating in these initiatives? Who are these people? How many roles do they play? How engaged are they in their everyday lives in multiple different initiatives? Obviously, you can understand why grassroots initiatives are so relevant for this type of model and why are they very often successful when we are talking about alternative community wealth building initiatives or models on a very small scale.
Thanks, Anna. Yeah, as you explained so well there, there's a lot happening in rural and island areas which pick up on the community wealth building potential of that. There's also questions, of course, like, you know, how appropriate is a model from somewhere like Preston in rural and island Scotland, which parts of the model are working well, but other things may potentially need to change. And understanding that is definitely a focus for our research. And I know colleagues and policymakers will be quite interested in that as well. I suppose that's the challenge of doing this work in Scotland, where so much innovation is happening in rural and island areas. And of course, in my experience, rural and island people would say they've been doing community wealth building for a really long time without being calling it community wealth building. So there's always this question, you know, what is the formal policy adding to it, which is something that we'll explore in our research as we go forward. So before we wrap up then, what's one thing you want our listeners to take away, Anna, from our conversation about community wealth building in Scotland?
Just to reflect on your comment first, I think it's a great point. And, you know, people in Scotland are not wrong. They've been doing it for ages, which is also a great way to announce our new report where we are looking into international examples where, you know, lots of examples are not called formally community wealth building, but they are very much community wealth building initiatives that have been existing for decades or in centuries in different places. The second thing is, when we are talking about Preston, yes, it's a success model. It's great. Ayrshire is a pioneer. They're doing so much in terms of a region. But how to actually adopt this to a very small scale community? Well, I keep on banging on about the capacity. And when I'm talking about capacity, I don't only mean necessarily the capacity of a place to, you know, in terms of population, how many people can live there, but it's also in terms of what type of human capital do you have, what type of infrastructure you have, what type of ideas you can entertain and execute and evaluate that they're feasible enough for your community, and what is close enough in terms of feasibility that you can actually make, you know, one step, two steps, and actually adopt some of the parts of the model and kick off with that. And I think that is one of the core things that Linksta is missing from the community wealth building, is that, you know, as I said, flexibility of the model to acknowledge these specific circumstances and these differences among places and communities, and that each community can offer something different, which doesn't mean it's bad. It quite means that each one of them is unique in their own way, and they have their own specific angle of perspective or, you know, strength they can offer in adopting this model. The other thing is, you know, as you said, so what? We've been doing this for ages, and that is absolutely true. And the odds are that even if the community wealth building legislation didn't come through, the communities would still keep on doing these things because they care about their places, they care about their residents, they care about their neighbor and their friends. But the thing is, if you have a legislation to back you up and to support your initiatives, then you can do more. And that's the value of it. But I would say that the most important takeaway is that the entire model is about local empowerment. It's about creating economic systems that work for everyone, and there is a recognition that there is a space for everyone. It's more inclusive, and it's not just, you know, focused on urban areas or specific stakeholders and out of reach for everyone else. So whether you're living in rural area, island, city, there should be opportunities to get involved and ensure that the wealth generated in your community stays in your community.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for that today, Anna. This has been a fun conversation about Scotland's leadership in community wealth building. And as you'll know from listening, we talked about other work we're doing. We'll continue to explore more examples about how community wealth building is being implemented across different regions in Scotland in our upcoming episodes. And actually, the next topic is going to be international examples of community wealth building across different landscapes, picking up on some of those points that Anna was just raising about things that are happening elsewhere, whether they're badged as community wealth building or not. Some great urban examples, some great rural examples in that report, which ranges from examples from North America to Africa, Australia, and other places, wide-ranging places as well. So really interesting examples next. And then following that, there's going to be a summary of the pilots, actually, the five community wealth building pilots that Anna explained, and the pioneering work in North Ayrshire. So stay tuned. Since you can subscribe and follow us on social media, thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.